said to me that he wants to give us new babies, spiritually speaking, and we've had a number of new kids come into the Lord's kingdom recently, 35 a couple of weeks ago, and just a number of people who are starting to serve God. But we have a lot of babies, just real babies, and they need to be taken care of. God loves kids. And it's not just little kids, it's older kids too. There's some things that are happening in the youth. Paul, why don't you come up and I don't know where that microphone went, but grab it down there. There's some good things happening in our youth too, and caring for our children, caring for our youth was really one of the driving factors 5 years ago in 2004 that caused us to enter into a building program called Arise and Build, which now resulted in this facility here to house adults and children. And because of what God was doing then, there was no room for children and no place for them to really lay their heads, so to speak. We got into this program and developed this, and now again we're sensing the same thing. I just went by and coming out from my study into service, I was just a little bit late because of my health here, and I was walking around, and I just went by a couple of classes to thank the leaders for serving, and two classes were closed already in this service and had to turn some people away. That's why we're doing this thing called Future Hope, a learning center that's on the horizon. And youth is a part of that because God's doing some explosive things. Can you give us an update, Paul?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for letting me come and share. I want to give a praise report. Since my wife and I have been working with the youth for the last year and a half, we have been really praying that the Lord would bring a harvest and just that we would see an increase. And last Wednesday, we felt like the Lord was going to do something, and we actually had a prayer here in the sanctuary on Wednesday during the afternoon, and we were praying, Lord, just bring in the lost. And last Wednesday night, we set a new record. Our youth group grew to 100 students. Wow. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. We're excited about it because, that's really what we're called to do. We're not called to fill the pews, or we're called to fill the kingdom of God. One of the exciting things about that is that 2 weeks ago, we had 22 kids get saved right there on Wednesday night. And that was
first-time believers.
First-time believers, and then 10 of the new rededicated believers.
Wow.
And we challenged our kids. We said, you know what? We feel like if you could invite just one person, just by one person to a youth group, you would see God do a miraculous thing. We would start to grow, and more people would get saved. Last Wednesday night, when we reached that 100, we had an additional 12 people get saved, and we had additional people get recommitted, and there's been the Holy Spirit's been moving, people being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're really excited. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for the salvations. That's what's exciting. Praise the Lord. What we've been asking is that the kids continue for the next 3 months to invite at least one person, because God is interested in that one person. A lot of times people say, Pastor Paul, are you just only interested in numbers? And I'll tell the youth, I'm not just interested in the numbers, but I am interested in the names, because behind every number there is a name. Mm-hmm. And just like the Lord went out from the flock to go out and to reach that one lamb, that's what God wants us to do. And so I've been challenging each of the youth to do that, is to invite
awesome.
Somebody.
Wow.
So, yeah,
God's
thank you for sharing that.
Stuff.
Praise
thank
the Lord.
You, Paul. Appreciate it. Well, having said all that, I want to take just a couple of minutes to remind you that this is our one-year anniversary of Future Hope. It was a year ago. This month that we began this project. At that time, there was a growing need. There is definitely a need now if we're going to expand and care for our children properly. So we set in motion a plan called Future Hope. It's revolving around a building that's going to be right across the street as you go out these doors. And it's about 45, no, it's not. Well, I'll let you tell all of the details. You're better at it than I am, Andrew. But we started that process because we really want to touch a lot of people. If you know me and you know the staff, you know that we're not just trying to build buildings to build buildings. The reason we built this is so that we could, when I say we, I mean all of us together, Your faithfulness and your giving was what caused this to happen in the first place. But we've done this together so that we could reach more and more people for Jesus Christ. I started 2 weeks ago to try to find a preschool for my grandson because he's at that age where it would benefit him greatly to be with some other students and learn some things. And I'm finding that Christian preschools are all filled up. And one of our visions is not just to have a learning center that will house our young people and our youth, our children, and make room for classes. We have all these new Christians coming, and we have to have a class outside of this building because we have no room here on Sunday mornings for that. And so we're in need of this, and I'm finding that our vision for having a preschool in our community, then I'll know that there'll be a spot for my grandson. And so it's a little selfishly motivated there. But there's lots of people in need there. And I wanted to take today, in this month, May 17th, to just take a glance and let you have an update of what's happened in this past year. And I'm going to ask Pastor Andrew to come up and do that for me. He wants to give you kind of a flyby of what's happened this past year, what monies have come in. This is spiritual stuff, guys, and I think you know that. But when Nehemiah built a building, built a wall, that was spiritual stuff. This is what God is having us do. I'm finding that if my spiritual life isn't being manifested in the practical realm, then what good is it? Paul says, where is your faith? Well, it's revealed in your works. So he's been working among us, and I want you to hear what's going on and rejoice, and then we'll pray together that God will give us favor so that we can proceed with what he has in store for us. Andrew, pick it up there.
Good morning once again. And just before I begin, I just want to make note that we're working on the air conditioners. Always the first heat wave of the summer, we always have minor issues, and so I think things are coming back on, and it'll start to cool down. It's either too cold or too hot, right? It's just one or the other. Future hope. It is our one-year anniversary. 1 year ago, we received pledges from us for Future Hope. And Future Hope, as Pastor Tim described, is a 14,000-square-foot building that will go just kind of across the road. The pad that you see there is erected for Future Hope and for actually more than that, but we decided to do the whole pad in its entirety rather than just the pad for the 14,000-square-foot building because we'll have a playground next to it, and we want to have a patio area and have some nice features. And so that's where the building will go, basically, because you walk straight out the doors, maybe just kind of on the left side as you're facing of the pad. The south side of the pad is where that building will go. And it will have about eight classrooms in it that will be larger than our existing classrooms. As we mentioned, we've got a classroom problem. It's a great problem to have, but just 2 weeks ago, we had to close five classrooms in the late service. And the people that we counted, which we it's very difficult to count people that you turn away, but we know we turn away at least 15 families that couldn't put their kids in to the classroom because we don't have enough classroom space. And so it's a wonderful problem to have, but it's also something that we want to solve because we want to continue to reach the Kings County. There's many lives that have yet to be touched, and we want to continue to make room for that. And so in your bulletin, of course, the cover of it just sort of announces our first anniversary. And the reason why we're celebrating an anniversary is because 3 years, or I'm sorry, 1 year ago, we all made three-year pledges to give. And so we see our money as we give each month increase and grow as we combine it together. And we actually committed $1.4 million. If you open up your bulletin there to the first inside to that right-hand side where it says Future Hope, about halfway down the page underneath the picture where it says bringing you up to date, the pledged amount was $1.4 million over 3 years. And you all, Koinonia, has always been a faithful giving church, and we continue to see and are amazed at God's hand in continuing through you to bless this project. And so $1.4 million was pledged a year ago, and then up to this date, $372,000 of that $1.4 million have come in. So we're really right on target. If you multiply that times three, we get pretty close to that $1.4 million mark. And every month in and month out, those finances come in, and those monies are set aside in a fund that is specifically for a Future Hope. And we haven't had to touch that money. We're saving that money, and our desire is to build that money up in order to build the Future Hope project. When we went into the project, We desired, we thought it was wisdom to not borrow additional funds to make that happen. We know with the economy and everything that's happening that maybe it's not the best. We felt it was not the best to take on more debt load at this point, but rather to, as the money came in, begin to move forward on the project. And so that's the strategy that we're taking at this point. And God is faithful through you to see those funds come in. And the project cost we expect to be about $1.8 million. At least that's what the initial bids came in, was about $1.8 million. But we know that in this market, with the construction the industry being what it is, the economy being what it is, that we actually anticipate those numbers to continue to decrease. And here in just about a month and a half, 2 months, we're actually going to pull all new numbers. And I anticipate that the bids will be lower than that. I don't know how much lower, but we know that in this economy, people are looking for work. And so in terms of building this project, it's a very positive thing because we'll be able to build more for less, or build the same project for a lot less money than what we anticipate. So we'll be keeping you updated as to what those numbers come in as, and as we move forward on the finances and how it comes in. And I have some booklets because 1 year ago, some of you may not have really been here. You may not have known about what Future Hope is. And so the ushers right now, they have some booklets, and I'm running, you know, I think about 40 left. We used more in the first service than I expected. But if you would like to know more information about Future Hope, this has kind of a floor plan. It speaks specifically about the preschool and the classroom spaces and the auditorium that we're going to have. So really, it's going to have an auditorium. So just raise your hand now as they come, and you can get one of these. It has an auditorium that will be about twice the size of our great room, be able to seat about 300 people, and it'll be set up for banquets. But at the same time, it will be designed for our youth so that Wednesday night, they can blow it up on Wednesday night and have some real trendy, cool stuff there in that auditorium. And then there'll be classrooms for our kids, as well as two classrooms that will be designed specifically for this preschool that we want, because we know that preschool will be an outreach to the community. That's really why we're doing it, to reach out to young families in the community. And older families too, because older families have young kids sometimes, and so we want to do that through our preschool. So if we run out, we'll have more of these next week at guest services. You can pick them up. And then in your bulletin, you'll notice there's a commitment card. If you just kind of pull that out and look at it for just a second, 1 year ago, we used this exact commitment card, actually very close to this commitment card, because we were asking for 3 years faith pledges, 3 years faith commitment. We've redesigned it to be 2 years, because we've got 2 years left. And if you were not able to pledge during that time, and you desire to be a part of what God is doing and desire to see that happen and partner with us and partner with Him, then you can use this card, take it home, pray over it, think about it, ask God, Lord, how would you have me be a part of this project? And you can fill it out and drop it in an offering over the next couple of weeks, or give it to one of the guest services people or one of the ushers, and we will receive that. Also, we use these cards if you need to update us on your pledge. Maybe you have received a raise and really feel God has called you to give more. You may want to give more and change your pledge. We always welcome pledges that are increased. If you want to give more, we will receive it. It's always a challenge to receive, but we will receive your finances if you desire to give. So if you need to increase your pledge, you can do that on this card. Maybe you gave it and been blessed, or maybe some things have changed in your finances and you feel you need to adjust your pledge downward. We don't like that, but you know, we're okay with that. We're okay with it because nobody's breathing down your neck. It's not a contract between you and us. It's between you and God. And our desire is that everyone in Koinonia that wants to be a part of what He is doing in this county through Koinonia, that you would be a part of that. And this is a great way to do that. It's amazing. Excuse me. It's amazing how when we give month by month, it increases and grows as we do it together. And all of a sudden we have 300,000, 600,000, and we're there before we even know it. So that's Future Hope stuff. And want to let you know as well, and you see on the bottom of that bulletin there, it says a space for church offices. And so kind of during the same period of time, we are excited because we're going to be able to finally get our offices here on this campus. Ever since we moved into this building 4 years ago, we haven't had camp offices here. We've always been off-site. Our offices are at the same location as our old building, and that hasn't been a huge problem, but we know that it's going to be better and desirable to be here on campus. There's people that come here that are looking for someone to talk to, and we have to redirect them over across to downtown Hanford, to where our offices are. And so we are going to be able to move on to campus very soon, and you're going to be seeing some construction, I expect, within the next probably 6 to 8 weeks that will begin to happen, just kind of catty-corner to where the pad is across the street. So just kind of a little bit to my left in front of us, there's going to be a small office building, be about between 4,000 and 5,000 square feet that we're going to be able to put up there and get our staff into it. And we're able to do that because we've been able to save money over the last 2 years, really, and save for this purpose so that we can get into that church offices and get on campus and sort of continue to move. So as you see that happening, that's for our offices. That's not quite yet future hope, because we anticipate that that will happen as we move a little bit forward and raise some more money. But things are happening. We're really excited about what God is doing and all this that's happening in our midst. So I don't know if you want to say anything else.
Just praise Jesus.
Praise
Thank
Jesus.
You, Lord, for, you Amen. Know, this is, that's praise territory.
We are going to receive our offering this morning, so if the ushers could come forward. And if you have filled out maybe that commitment card, feel free to take that home. Please pray over it. Don't feel any pressure to do that today. Maybe you filled out the yellow sheet to help us out with children's ministry. Maybe you've put in on your connection card a prayer request or whatever it might be. You can put that in this offering, and we will receive it from you. Thank you very much. And I'll work on the air conditioner again.
I thought it was just because I had a fever here, but I guess it's not, huh? Lord Jesus, you didn't even have to close your eyes for this one. I just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us. Thank you for not showing us everything that's down the road, because if you did, Lord, we probably would be afraid and wouldn't take the step. But you just say to us that your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light under our path. So you show us one step at a time. I'm just so thankful, Jesus, that you are doing what you're doing. No glory can be given really to anyone at all. If there's any honor at all, it's just in our obedience to you. And it's you who've done it through our obedience. We just are recognized that if anything good happens here, it really is because of your grace and your mercy. So, Lord, I just want to go on record and say to you, Father, that your son is awesome, and when we grow up, we want to be just like him. Would you please help us, O Lord? I said that last week when I read John chapter 4, and that's where we're going to be turning right now in just a second. John chapter 4. I read through that chapter, and I says, oh, Jesus, I want to be just like you. It's a story about a woman who was a Samaritan. She was a woman who was living with a guy outside of wedlock. Really don't know, as you study the text, she could have been having an affair with a married man, so she was really disrupting that family unit. Or it could have been just another single guy. We're not really told. But she's come from, her history has included 5 husbands. The word husband, as you'll hear it read in a few seconds, could be interpreted as the word man, because the Greek doesn't differentiate between husband and man in this context. So it could be that she's just been with 5 men. She hasn't even been married at all. She's just been kind of living and doing her thing. And Jesus says to her, you know, that you don't even have a husband now. And As we read this together today, and you just realize how gracious Jesus was to this person, you just begin to realize, wow, it takes a supernatural touch to do that. You know, there are some people I just like to slap in the face. And there, you have something like that? Wake up, you know what I mean? Sometimes I wish God would do that to me, just make me do what I'm supposed to do. But he's so gracious with us. He's full of mercy, and he's full of love and kindness. And I want us to see this morning very clearly that Jesus is a one-on-one person. Jesus loves the individual. Now, yes, he spent time talking to the multitudes. And yes, he spent time dealing with the 12 disciples. But the foundation for everything he did was one-on-one. He really cares for you. Amen. and me. When we come together, we actually become a personality. The Bible talks about the church. When it comes together, we've become a body. It's almost like we have our own DNA. We have our own personality trait as a church, as a people. But the people are made up of individuals. And it was Jesus' love for individuals that gave his ministry to the multitudes some weight and some substance. Now, we've been out of John for a while, but if you've been here for some time, you know that we're this year focusing on Jesus, and we're working our way through John. Well, we've had Mother's Day, and we've had Wow Jam a couple of weeks ago, and so we've been kind of out of it. So let me just catch you up. In John chapter 1, it's really the introductory part, and it talks about the incarnation. 1, verse 1 through 18. And it's where that says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He came into this world. Verse 14 in chapter 1 says, the Word became flesh, Jesus became flesh, lived among us. It's all about Him, this God, revealing Himself through Jesus to us. In verse 19 of chapter 1, through this chapter that we're going to read in just a moment, to chapter 4, some of the scholars will call it the presentation. It's the next movement. It's where things shift. And it's talking about Jesus, in fact, doing the work that he was sent to do. Now, in chapter 5, when we get there next week and we start moving on, there's a new movement there that where people begin to oppose Jesus, and we'll begin to see that as we begin to develop. But in chapters 1, 19 through 4, it's all about Jesus doing the work. Now, here's what I want you to pick up. In chapter 1, it's Jesus and John the Baptist. In chapter 2, you remember he went to a wedding? It was Jesus and a young couple who were getting married in a place called Cana. He did a miracle for them. In John chapter 3, it's all about Jesus and Nicodemus. There was a man, a Pharisee, who came to him at night to talk with him. In John chapter 4, it's Jesus and this Samaritan woman, just one-on-one. At the end of the chapter, which we won't get to have time to read, there's a government official called a nobleman, and it's Jesus and the nobleman. Even when you move into chapter 5, Jesus is again touching the individual person. He's healing a man at the pool of Bethesda. It's not until John chapter 6 that he touches the multitudes and he feeds the 5,000. Maybe you remember that story. Well, that's in John chapter 6. Well, Mark tells us that even when he fed the multitudes, the reason he did it is because he had compassion for the individuals. Now, we've got to catch this because if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to have a love not just for people, but for individuals. If Jesus came in here today and he looked over you, he might just say, I want to go to lunch with you. It was his desire to touch individuals that caused him to leave the 99 and go find the one. It's his love for the individual that caused him to stop while he was on his way to heal someone to talk to the woman who touched the hem of his garment. It's his love for the individual, this one-on-one relationship that caused him, when he's walking down the street and there's lots of people around him and a little guy can't see Jesus, so he crawls up into the tree. Remember his name? Zacchaeus. And it's his love for Zacchaeus that he stops and says, hey, Zacchaeus, come down here. I'm gonna go to your house. Jesus loves the individual. I want to go through this text with you, and I want to do it kind of in a rather fast way because we only have about 30 minutes, and hopefully the air conditioning does come back on. If not, I'll be about 15 minutes. you wish, don't you? I want to journal with you this text. Now, some of you have been journaling, and some of you may have not known that we're journaling, but there's books that we have available at the guest services, and they're called Life Journal, and many of us have sought to take a portion of Scripture on a daily basis and just do a little journaling. We write down the Scripture, we write down kind of an observation, and then we do an application, and then a prayer, four specific things. And I've been doing that. We've been doing that for 2 years. I have kind of a love-hate relationship with this Life Journal thing. Some days I love it. Other days I hate it. To be very, very honest with you, and I wish I could say that I'm a better example, but I would say that on average, I probably journal 3 to 4 days a week. So I'm not able. Some of you are pretty good, and you feel ashamed that I have to say that. You do it maybe 7 days a week, but I pretty much do it 3 to 4 days a week. And if I can get you guys to do it 3 to 4 days a week, many of you maybe are doing that. That it's a tool that God is using to really help His Word get into our minds and into our hearts. It's nothing more than that. It's just a tool. There's nothing sacred about it. It's just a tool. But this morning I thought I would have someone read, and Stacy, if you wouldn't mind coming at this time. I've asked Stacy to read through John because it's because of my voice this morning. And I'm going to kind of, as, come on right up, and I've got the microphone right here for you, Stacy. And as she's reading, I'm going to have her stop at certain points, and I'm going to write down just an observation I made. See, sometimes I hate journaling because I think I have to write a diary. I have to write a whole page of stuff, and you really don't. All you have to do is just write down something that impresses you. When you're reading through a chapter, as we will do today, we'll read through almost the whole chapter, 42 verses, and I'll just read the chapter, and I'll just observe, make an observation of something that really sticks out to me. So I'm going to give you 4 observations, and then I'll make 4 points from those 4 observations after that. But it's just very simple. We'll have observations and points. So if you want to take your journal sheet, this is what a journal sheet looks like. If you should pick up a book at the guest services, this is what a journal sheet looks like. And you can just start there by putting the verse down when we come to it, and then an observation when I give it to you, okay? Leave a little space, and you put observation 2, little space, observation 3, and little space, observation 4, and we'll kind of go through this text together, okay? Start reading, Stacy.
The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria.
Okay, stop. Verse 4, but verse 4 observation is this. He had to go to Samaria. And I put in that word had. He had to go. I thought, why did he have to go to Samaria? So that was my observation. That's what stuck out to me. He had to go to Samaria.
So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the 6th hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans."
Okay, stop. Verse 9, observation. She was shocked. She was surprised. If you, as we read, you'll hear when the disciples came back, they too were surprised. They were shocked that Jesus would be talking to a woman. In that day, the culture, you know, you didn't fraternize with women in public in that way. And the religious view of Jesus for doing this was really myopic and very crystal clear. They were saying, there's something wrong with this. The Samaritans and the Jews were two people groups that had a great deal of hatred among them. This wasn't just like your little bit of a Republican Democrat debate or your Pepsi Coke, you know, commercials. This was like having a Jewish person who has a Jewish heritage talking with someone who's from Nazi Germany and dealing with the Holocaust and having two people from those spectrums talk to each other. So they were surprised. That's what I observed. So put down verse 9, she was surprised.
Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he.
Stop right there. This observation number three, he didn't condemn her. In that whole discourse, that whole dialogue, there was no condemnation at all. Full of grace and mercy. That struck out to me. Go on.
Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, What do you want? Or, Why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, Could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor.
Stop. Observation number four, put down, now is the time. Now is the time. Don't have to wait till tomorrow. Just struck me. He's saying, hey, listen, now's the time. Go ahead.
Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words and many more became believers. They said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.
Yeah. Everybody said amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, the reading of the word is very, very important. And sometimes we disregard that. I could have just told you this story and made some comments, but I don't ever want to mislead you to think that the reading of the word isn't important. Paul even says, make sure you keep reading the word publicly, so the full content can come forth. First observation, he had to go to Samaria. What do we have in common with Jesus? If we want to be like Jesus, what can we do? Well, he had to go to Samaria. Why did he have to go to Samaria? Because there were a couple of other routes. He had to go through Samaria. Why did he have to go through Samaria? There were two other routes that he could have taken. The answer to that is that it's not a geographical problem. It is a theological reason. He went to Galilee through Samaria because he knew that God had someone in store for him to meet. I've got to go here because I'm under assignment. I'm under appointment. You and I are under assignment. Did you know that? You and I are commissioned by God to touch the lives of people. Jesus understood that. He was on a mission. Where am I to find these people? Where am I to go? Oh, I've got to go through Samaria. I've got to go, even though that the Jewish person didn't want to go through Samaria, he had to go through Samaria because he was under assignment. You are under assignment. There are people that are just waiting for you to touch them. And if you're going to be like Jesus, you've got to be willing to go wherever he tells you to go. That's the first point. If you're ever going to be like, if you're going to have a one-on-one ministry, if you're going to value the lives of individuals, if you're going to be like Jesus, you've got to say, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll say whatever you want me to say. When Jesus woke up in the morning, and I've been trying this myself, when I wake up in the morning, my first thing is, oh, Lord, what do I have to do today? The real question is, oh, God, who do you have for me to touch today? The goal-oriented people, there are many of you. You may be a goal-oriented people, and there's nothing wrong with setting goals, but the goal for Jesus and the goal for a Christian is to touch people. It's not just to do things for the sake of doing things. It is to do things so that the lives of people can be touched. And if you and I are going to be like Jesus, we must say, oh God, I embrace the fact that I have some divine appointments this week. I had a lot of appointments with people in various places this past week, and I believe every one of them was divine appointments. But there were others that I just ran into, and there were divine appointments there. But sometimes we're so busy, we've got our agenda so full, we can't even recognize these opportunities, these people who are divinely appointed to meet with us. Can you relate to that, your schedule? I mean, I don't have a lot of time in my schedule. But one of the reasons why I think that Jesus going through Samaria to Galilee wasn't because it was the shortest route, because Jesus was never in a hurry anyplace. He always had time for the one person. He always had time to stop and to talk to people. And sometimes we can miss people because have our own agenda. I have discovered, as much as I don't like it, that ministry doesn't usually happen in my time frame. Ministry isn't always convenient. Sometimes it makes me change my plans and adjust my thoughts and the places where I were going to go. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to be willing to surrender our time to the Lord. Say, God, use me. Use me, Lord. Show me where I'm supposed to go. Tell me who I'm supposed to touch. How will I recognize? How will I find that one? Because if you guys and me, if we have divine appointments this next week, how are we going to find them? You know, here's the good news. They'll find you. They'll find you. Jesus was tired. He was sitting at the well, and the woman found him. And what did he do? He initiated conversation with her. If you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to get outside of your box, get outside of your shell, and initiate conversation. Doesn't mean you have to be gregarious. Doesn't mean you have to be overtly outgoing. Just to be willing to engage in conversation. He asked this woman, you know, could you give me a drink? And listen, that conversation, that question led to her spiritual salvation. That conversation led to her spiritual awakening of who God really was, and that Jesus, in fact, was the living God revealed to her. How many conversations could lead to that? But they never happen because we never ask a question. We never engage in conversation. I'm not the most outgoing person in the world, but I'm learning to engage because I never know where it will lead. If I just ask, hey, how are you doing today? Or hey, boy, it's really hot here, isn't it? Yeah, it sure is. And then you get talking, and all of a sudden, the conversation begins to take a different route. You never know. Wow. It could end up leading someone to Jesus Christ. But if you don't ask, you never know. He used something called water. Everybody drinks water. I'm drinking some right now because of my throat. We drink water. It's something we have in common. We usually use the weather, don't we, when you're meeting a stranger? Hey, it's pretty hot out here, or it's pretty cold out here, or something. Or have you noticed this or noticed that? Well, there's something in common. I carry my little grandson. He's a what I want to say, you know, he's a, like a babe magnet. You know, if I were single, it's like you just take him around, and he's so darn cute. Everybody starts talking to you because of him. You know, or if you got a cute dog, you know, and you carry a dog, and cute dog, you start to engage in conversation because you never know where it will lead. You never know where it will lead. Do you notice the outcome of this conversation? Do you remember what she just read, Stacy just read a few seconds ago? That when she left, she went and told everybody what had happened. And it says many believed in Jesus because of her words. And then they came to Jesus, and it says many more. So many believed in Jesus because of her words, and then many more believed because they came to Jesus and heard his words. Last week in youth group, Paul told you that, I don't think he said that we've been averaging about 45 to 50 kids, and all of a sudden God has been doing something, and so there was 72, and then there were 100 last week. He told me that one of the girls that he and his wife have cared for and imparted some life into, she brought, was it 14? I thought it was 12, but she brought 14 of her friends to youth group for the first time. See, that's a present-day illustration of what can happen when you actually love people and you take time to be with them. Some people just, I mean, we have people throughout our world paying psychologists and psychiatrists just to talk with them. They're lonely. They want someone to talk with them. And if you and I can be that one-on-one person, I'm telling you, it can change things. We've got 35 to 40 people who have received Jesus tonight in the last few weeks. We have this class going on, and I'll tell you something. These new Christians need more than a class. Class is informational-based, but they need something with relational-based stuff. And I've asked Jim, would you stand up, Jim Childress? Last week, I mentioned the fact that I've asked him to come on and help us in these summer months to develop a way of touching people one-on-one. And he was more than glad to do that. Last week, I did a poor job in advertising that because I hadn't finalized it with him. I would have changed some things, but we've got a confirmation. He loves people. I just set him up with a couple of appointments today. He went over last week to talk with some new Christians who didn't know how to read the Bible. They don't even know how to fight the enemy. They don't know how to do anything. We need people to say, hey, you know, we need more in the class. I'll volunteer to stand alongside someone. I can't take 100, but I'll help you with one person. See, that's the type of ministry that God's raising up. That's what Jesus was all about. It wasn't just like going to a class and going to a seminar, reading a book. He was saying, I want a hands-on-hands ministry. I pray today that God will raise up and stir in your hearts a desire to say, yeah, I'd like to at least make myself available. I don't know if I have enough to give. Listen, if you've been following the Lord for some time and you're trying to walk in Him, you've got something to give. You can pass something on. There's someone behind you, believe me. And there's also someone ahead of you. But you can give what you have. Silver and gold, I don't have, but I have something I can give to you. And so what I'm going to give, that's what this message is all about. It's just saying, Jesus, we want to be like you. We don't want to just talk about you and then go home and say, oh, that was a good text that he talked from this morning. Or, wow, the worship was great. No, we want to be like Jesus. We want to raise up and say, I want to stand along someone. I want to be that one-on-one person. And so I want to pray. Jim, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, that you would anoint Jim. I pray that even as I pray for him, that ears would be stirred today so that they would have a desire to be like you. They'd have a desire to not just pray for revival, and then a lot of people come to you, and we have no one to take care of them. We have no one to raise the babies, Jesus. But I pray that there would be people here today who would call us. They would email us. They would go to the guest services. However they would want to contact us. I pray that we would hear this week of people who would want to be a part of this one-on-one ministry, especially to these new Christians, Jesus. For we do believe that they need information. They do need classes, Lord. But they also need someone to help them stand alongside. So I pray that as Jim puts his hand to the plow, so to speak, as he's done this last week, and he moves through these summer months, that would be something you would give us favor in. And we'll give you praise. Amen and amen. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. Would you say amen if you believe that? Jesus didn't condemn her. He was full of grace and truth. If you and I are going to be like Jesus, we have got to get our attitude out of it. We've got to just share the truth and let truth do the work. Truth will change people. Do you know that? He doesn't need your pressure and your condemnation, you know, telling people they're wrong. No, just share the truth and it will change it. Truth has a power about it because Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way. If you come to the Father and come through me, that truth will change your life. Sometimes people I think a lot of times Christians will come and people will come to the Bible and try to adjust truth to fit their lifestyle. Instead of saying, I'm going to fit my lifestyle to the truth that you have in your word. When you fit your life, when you adjust your life to truth, it changes you. He didn't bring any condemnation at all. And last of all, he said, hey, disciples, now is the time. Don't wait for the harvest to happen 3 or 4 months down the road. Right now, God's doing something. Do you want to be like Jesus, who was a part of what God was doing? If you want to be, you must stop procrastinating. You got to stop saying, well, tomorrow I'll get to it. Okay, I'll think about it, and maybe someone else will do it. I'm pretty sure someone else. No. You got to get involved right now. You've got to say, God, I'm getting in the river. I'm going to start to move in you. I want to be just like you, not just listening and hearing about it. And if that happens, if you and I continue, many of you are living this lifestyle already. Many of you are a loving individual people. You're going for it. And you are a part of why God is doing what he's doing. But if we're going to reach the multitudes, if we're going to have 3 services and 4 services and reach out and touch Kings County and get people saved, that means that we really have to buy into this one-on-one ministry, this concept. That I see myself as valuable. I see myself as, I don't have very much to offer, but what I have to offer is yours. And I'm going to offer it to you, and I'm going to look for people. I'm going to watch this week. I'll tell you, watch this week. I met someone in the gas station. We had a 20-minute conversation at a gas station. I was in Target, had a 15-minute talk with a woman who was in need and prayed for her right in Targets. I prayed for people in Starbucks. I prayed for a man last week in Starbucks. And when you're praying for people, sometimes they'll overhear what you're saying, and they'll say something like this. Do you really believe in prayer? Oh, all of a sudden, there's another conversation that you can begin to get involved in. It begins to multiply like that. And it's nothing that we do. It's just that we're available to God. Jesus happened to be at the well, and then all of a sudden, this woman found. He just initiated conversation. Hey, how you doing today? Hey, could you give me some water, please? And look at what happened. Look at that. Look at where it went. She talked about worship and prophets and everything else. And it's kind of like, he just kept bringing her back, you know, to who the fact that God is. And God really wants to raise you and me up, because this is the day. Now is the time. Hate to say this to you. I don't want you to. Let me repeat that. I don't want you to think that this is a cliche, but he's coming soon. He's coming soon. And things are winding down. And I know that's been said for 2,000 years, but I tell you, we're a lot, whole lot closer right now than ever before. And you can see, if you can read some signs, it'll talk to you about the weather. You ought to read the spiritual signs, because there's a lot of things happening right now. And it's really incumbent upon us to say, God, if you'll give us babies, we'll take care of them. I recognized a mom last week. I don't know if it was in this service. I think it was first service. Christiane Katz. And Christiane Katz has 9 kids. Man, I get tired just thinking of that. Her husband, David, plays the instruments up here. He plays drums and guitar. He was up here this morning. Three or four of their kids play in the worship team. I mean, that family alone has influenced this church greatly. Do you know that he's not on welfare? He provides for his own family. God is taking care of it. You know, God wants us to take care of our kids. He wants some of you to volunteer for those kids out there, these services. That's an investment in our next generation. Some of you, you'd be a whole lot less bored with me if you'd just be over there instead of listening to me. Get over there and take care of kids. You'd be a lot happier. You know what I mean? And God will do some things. And that's the heart that God wants us to have. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. Elders and wives and staff and those who are on the prayer teams, you can come forward. If you need to prayer this morning, just feel free to come down. We have about 31 kids to dedicate. Talking about people coming to the Lord, we're going to have dedication just about just a few minutes from now once everybody clears out. And just about 25 to 30 kids are going to be dedicated to the Lord. Children are a key. Children are a key. Lord, we just want to be like you today. Would you just put your hands in a receptive fashion? Father, we put our hands out in a receptive fashion as if you're going to give us something. And what I would like to ask you for is I'd like to have you give us a brand new, fresh heart. for what you are doing. Some just need, some are already moving, but some have been seated on the sidelines for quite some time, really haven't been involved, maybe even getting bored with Christianity and aren't participating. And I pray that you give us a brand new heart today, a heart that would want to be a one-on-one person, a heart that would not just look to hang around my type of people, but would be willing to speak with anyone. Jesus, you are willing to speak with this woman. It broke all the rules of society. The religious people said, you shouldn't talk with a Samaritan woman, and the disciples were amazed. But you were willing to talk with anybody. Give us a heart that's willing to talk with anyone, Lord. Anyone. We can't talk with everyone, but we can talk with anyone. And may those people who come into our path this week, may we not overlook them because we're so intent on accomplishing a goal that we've set for ourselves. But may we see them and take time for them, Lord. May they not remain invisible to us. And I pray that as you form this continuing base of one-on-one ministries, that you in fact would be able to reach the multitudes. You had a love for people. You had a love for your disciples, but you had a love for individuals as well. And today, if there's anyone here, God, that doesn't know your love, they've not experienced your love, I pray that you would cause them to come forward so that we can pray with them and introduce them to you, and they too can experience your love today and begin to grow in you. I pray that everyone in this place will know how much you really do care for them. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Everybody said, amen. God bless you today. Thank you for coming.